At the time, Duncan, after examining me, said that he had never seen such a light case of hepatitis. And Baba said to me, if you hadn't eaten that meal when I told you to that day, you would have been so sick. So because I obeyed Baba and did what he said, he mitigated the illness, so that by the time Baba was ready to leave Kulu Valley, I was quite well and strong again and was able to sort of cope with the travel back. While we were in the north, Baba went on many must trips, and then each time he would come back again to our main stop where we were, which was in Dehradun. Then from Dehradun, we came on to Mahabaleshwar and stayed at that Aga Khan's bungalow where we always used to stay when we went to Mahabaleshwar. And we were there for a few months and then went down to Satara. And at the time we were in Satara, then Narina and Elizabeth, this was 1947, came from America. And they were staying in a separate bungalow from us. Dr. Gohei was looking after them, and Kaka, and they used to come over to our bungalow. We see each other back and forth. At that time, Baba said now he would be coming back to Mehrazad, but we were not all to stay with Baba. There was, at that time, Katie and Naja and Kitty and myself. Baba put us in a small group on Mehrabad Hill. It was as if they were all small families. Instead of being one big ashram, we were all like small families. There were the four of us, then there was Kaushed and her mother, and they made a small group. Mansari's family made another group. Baidul's family made another group. We each had our own household. We had our own, money in which to make our arrangements of bazaar and everything. And it was like so many small households all in under one roof. And that lasted up to the time when we were going to have the new life was to start. Baba had given us a warning that there would be the new life period. Oh yes, in the meantime, the main building here at Mehrazad was opened. And Narina and Elizabeth came to stay here with Baba, and the small group which is now here with Baba. But as I say, they were our small families up in Mehrazad. Kitty and I used to take turns to come here and be with Baba. I would come for a month, and Kitty would come, and then I would go back. That way Baba kept the contact with us. And sometimes the whole group from here would go to Mehrabad to spend the day. And then we'd put on some skit for Baba to entertain him and that sort of thing. And this went on up to the time before the new life was to start. And as I say, Baba had given us a warning that he was going to go into the new life, and only certain ones of the women would he take with him. So naturally, that started our wheels whirling. Who is Baba going to take? Oh, I hope he takes me. But oh dear, what will happen if he doesn't take me? All these things going in our minds. And Baba would give no indication whatsoever for quite a while. And I think he didn't call us together and tell us till after Narina and Elizabeth left. They left, I think about a month or two before because it was October 49 when the new life started. I think they must have left in about August or September, I forget now. Anyway, it was some short time before that. So at last, the day came when Baba came with the group from here to Mehrabad. And that was the day that he was going to tell us who of the women were to go with him. Of course, we knew that Baba was selecting quite a few of the mandali and that there would be a big group of the mandali. But the women group was to be very small. So throughout our life with Baba, we always used to find that when Baba would praise us in any way, that it usually foreboded ill and there would be bad news in some kind. When Baba used to tell us what hopeless individuals we were, what broken down furniture, why he haven't even bothered to collect us and gather him to him, We used to relax and say, oh, well, it's all right, you know, Bubba's just leading us along, but everything's okay. But when he would tell us, as I say, how wonderful we were, then we were on our toes. So the East Room that the girls have in Maribed, usually whenever we were living in Maribed, if any conference or any meeting took place, Bubba would call us to that room. He would sit on Mary's bed, and then we would all sit around on stools. And so that day, the meeting was called. And then, with Muddy reading the board, Baba started telling us what pearls we were, how he wouldn't have done for his master what we had done for him, and we were jewels, we were this, we were that. And the more Baba laid it on, the more we looked at each other and said, oh gosh, I mean, if Baba would only get on with it, I mean, this is getting us, this, you know, on tenterhooks. What is Baba going to tell us, and what bad news is he going to present us with? So at last, having told us how wonderful we all were, then Baba proceeded to say who was coming on the trip. And it turned out that there were only going to be four women, Mera, Mani, Meru, and Dr. Gavir. So Kid and I looked at each other. We felt so disheartened. We had so banked that Baba would take us with him, you know, on the trip, and we were really so keen to go. The Baba said no, he had thought about taking us, but for two Western women like us to go on a trip like that, and a walking trip to India, and there might be difficulty with the authorities. They question, why should these two women be coming along? And I don't know, Baba made a very plausible reason, as he always would, as to why Kitty and I were not going with him. So then, for us, Baba gave us a choice. He said to Kitty and me, we can go back to our respective countries. His love would always be with us, and we should be happy. Or we could stay in India, but we might never see his face again. So Kitty and I said, well, we're nearer to Baba in India, we'll stay in India. So Baba said, all right, you'll have to stay with Mirji in Bombay. For the Easterners, he just settled it. He's told Katie and Naja that they would have to stay with Anavas, and that Katie, at some time or other, would have to go and find a job. As I say, Kitty and I were to stay with Mirji. And also staying at Mirji was Korshed and her mother, whom we called Masi. And Mansari was to stay on Maribed Hill, and others were, Easterners were distributed in other various places. So I had to, before the announcement was made, had to make out a list for everybody as to what particular things should be taken on the New Life trip. Only just, you know, say one towel or two towels, so many changes of underwear, so many clothes, so many shoes or sandals and coats and so forth, and woolens. So Kitty and I, naturally, we had sort of figured out all the things maybe that we would have. So even though we found we were going to Maribad, India, Bombay, We still, and even though Baba said we may never see his face again, we still, that, you know, little thread of hope was there. Maybe Baba will call us. So let's keep one trunk all ready, because if Baba does call us, it'll be at a moment's notice, with just the things that are on this list to go on the trip. So Kitty and I each had our own trunk besides all, because all our luggage had to leave Maribad. Maribad was emptied completely. Whatever was left over there, was all the things were sold. Maribad is now empty, excepting for Baba's things in that East Room there. Otherwise, the rest of the West Room and upstairs, where all the beds and furniture, everything was sold. So naturally, our trunks and everything had to go with us to Bombay. So every day, Kitty and I, several restrictions Baba gave us. One was, don't touch men. Another was that whoever we saw, we should never accept food from them. We could accept liquid refreshments. The Baba people that we went to see mostly, naturally. Who else did we know in Bombay excepting Baba people? We could accept liquid refreshments from them. And we should never buy anything on our own. Anything we needed, we should ask Homai for, the Mirji's wife. So, with that little thread of hope still hanging on. Oh yes, by the way, when we left that morning in Maribad, Baba came all the way from Marizad to see us off, which, I mean, as wonderful as it was, it sort of even made the parting worse. So, as I say...
Did you give Baba an embrace, a final embrace? Well, how was it?
No, he just waved to goodbye to us. He gave us the embrace here. So he just waved to us, as far as I can remember now. I know I got the embrace. I got an embrace here because I was staying here at the time. And, or he may have, because Kitty was staying then in Maribad. So he may give. Now it's time's gone by so far that it's sort of a little nebulous, that part. But I know, I remember that. I remember that wave, and I think, oh gosh, you know. So every day, Kitty and I used to walk up in the Hanging Gardens, up different roads. We got really to know all that area very well, up around where Mirji lived and where the Nariman and his and Anubhas lived. And we loved that atmosphere at Anubhas's. So what we used to do, we'd take a walk in the evening because we always dined late there at Mirji's. And naturally, he was away, busy all day and all that. We didn't see much of Homai because sometimes she'd come and talk with us, but she was never a very sort of outgoing person. And so we would take a walk, always arrange somehow to drop in at Anubhas's before we'd return home in the evening for dinner. And that way, Kitty and I kept fit and also got so that we knew our way around Bombay. And we used to go and visit Baba people, Baba lovers. And they, knowing that we could not accept anything in the way of food, they would devise all sorts of ways of making things into liquids so that we could enjoy the liquid. For instance, like when it was the mango season. I mean, actually, we couldn't eat a mango, but they would mash the mango into a pulp and then mix it with cream or milk so that we would have it as a nice cold drink which they'd put in the fridge and things like that. And we realized that, I mean, Baba had made these restrictions because otherwise people would have been lavishing things on us all the time because of coming from Baba. So time went by till about, this was October, November, must have been around at the end of November, or maybe the beginning of December. Anyway, about that time, we got a letter from Mani, and that made it final, saying that Baba would not call us, that we should stay at Homai's and Mirji's, and that we should help Homai in the household. And if it turned out that Homai didn't need any help, then we should get jobs. Well, Homai didn't need any help in the house. I mean, she was one of these people that didn't like people, other people from outside fussing with her things. So that meant getting jobs. But I mean, neither Kitty nor I were young women at the time. And Bombay in itself, I mean, the people themselves couldn't, some of them, get jobs. So how are we, foreigners, in a foreign city, going to find a job? So we went to the YWCA. We went to different consulates. We looked up ads in the newspapers. And we were getting desperate. We said, Baba said, get a job. How are we going to get a job? We can't find a job. We're trying, but we can't find it. So Homai, seeing the state of mind we were getting in, said to Kitty, you used to teach piano, didn't you? And Kitty said, yes. So she suggested that Kitty go down to Queen Mary High School, where her daughter was a pupil, and possibly there might be an opening. And she said, the English woman who is the head of the school there is a very charming woman. And I think that you will, I mean, being also an English woman, you get on with her very well. So Kitty went down there and came back beaming, and I said, Kitty, you got a job? She said, yes. I said, teaching piano? She said, no. She said she's quite satisfied with her music teacher, but she said she offered me a job teaching English. And I said, did you take it? She said, yes. I said, can you teach English? Of course, said Kitty. So then, if you know Kitty at all, she had that funny look in the eye, which meant Kitty had been up to something. And I had lived with Kitty all these years in the ashram not to spot that look. I said, Kitty, what have you been up to? Well, she said, I said, come on, out with it. She said, I told Miss Groom about you. I said, you did what? She said, I told Miss Groom about you. I said, what did you tell her? She said, well, I told her I had a friend who was an artist and she was also looking for a job. I said, Kitty, you didn't. And she said, she wants you to come down and see her. I said, but Kitty, that means teaching. I can't teach. I've never taught. How could I go? Oh, Kitty, how could you have done that? Kitty said, well, you need a job, don't you? I said, yes, I need a job, but not teaching. I said, it's all very well to try to do something on your own, but to go and impart it to others, I mean, you have to have a knack or a feel for it, and I haven't. Kitty kept saying, but still, where is the job coming from? You need a job, don't you? Here's one being offered to you. So I started thinking over, and I said, here's this woman. Sight unseen is offering me a job, and I'm just being like this about it. I mean, this isn't what Baba would want. So I said, all right, I'll go down and see her. And I took my portfolio with some few of the old paintings that I had, and I went to see her, and then and there she offered me the job. And I said, look, Miss Groom, I might as well be quite frank with you. I said, I don't know the first thing about teaching. I have never taught. I have never wanted to teach. But I have got to have a job while I'm here in Bombay. I don't know how long I'll be here in Bombay, but while I'm here, I must have a job. But I said, you're taking me and you don't even know whether I can teach or not. She said, but I'm willing to take you and I want you to come. But I said, Miss Groom, I said, the idea of all those pupils, I said, just frightens the death out of me. I said, I mean, it's bad enough, just a few pupils, but a whole room of 30 or 40 children looking at me. I said, my throat will dry up. I never can do anything in front of a group. Nothing would stop that woman. She said, all right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you the best pupil in each class. Will 10 or 12 be all right? But I said, Miss Groom, you don't know anything about me. She said, will that be all right with you if I offer you that for each class? I said, of course. At least that much I can try. So she said, all right, this is what we'll do. You take it on for a term, and if you find that it isn't what you want to do, that it doesn't work out, she said, I'll understand perfectly and we'll call it quits. But at least you take it on for a term. So I said, all right. So at that time, I was only then naturally teaching half day because I was only giving drawing lessons. I wasn't taking on any other classes. Kitty was doing full-time work, teaching English grammar, English literature, and composition, and so forth, mostly with the older classes. I had all grades of classes up to the top class that was taking drawing lessons. The very first day I had to go to the school, I kept Baba's ring on my hand. I kept saying, Baba, 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 you see? Oh, my God. Because I was, not that I was so young, but I can still recollect back how whenever anybody came, there was a new teacher to the school, you know, and she'd be in your class and you'd size her up, you know, how much can you get away with and whatnot, and what is she going to be like and what will our reactions be and so forth. So I just visualized all this going on in these children's minds, and so that's what paralyzed me. So I said, Baba, I've just got to see it through. You said, get a job. Now I've got my job. Now I've got to see it through. So anyway, little by little, the things started building up. I got the confidence of the children, and I managed to get them slowly to do what I wanted. And we'd been there for some months, and suddenly we got a letter from Baba saying that Baba was calling us. And where he was, I think, in Satara at the time. But there was one condition. And the condition was that we had to get our jobs back or we couldn't come. He didn't say for how long he was calling us, but he was calling us, a matter of weeks. But The main thing was that we had to get our jobs back. I said, Kitty, here we've just come here, we've started a term, and now we're going and saying we want to go off. What is this woman going to say? But I said, the only way we're going to know is to ask her. And so we went to her office and we said, Miss Groom, we've gotten a very important letter and we find that we'd have to go away for some time. But of course we'd like our jobs back when we came back. She said, of course you can go. And of course I want you to come back. There's no question that you shouldn't come back. I just sort of hung onto that desk. I said, Pava, oh. She never questioned why we had to go or how long we were going to be gone, only the fact that was important. And she said, I know that you wouldn't ask if it wasn't important. That's the only thing she said. And so what she did was to put our workload on all these other teachers, which is an unheard of thing. Usually if you take leave, you can find a replacement at least for that time. Where would we have found a replacement? So instead, she hands our workload to everybody. And off we go to Satara to see Baba. And we were with Baba for some weeks. And then when we came back, our workload was increased. She started giving me more classes, different classes. I was teaching first-year French to some children, to younger classes. And then I was given literature. And then besides that, I was given the drawing. By that time, I started doing full-time. And then this went on for quite a while. And then again, Baba called us. This was about, I think, the Dasarath time. And again, she let us go without a murmur. And again, she gave our workload to all the teachers. And Kitty kept in correspondence with her. And during that time, before that, Kitty had been given complete charge of one of the classrooms, you know, sort of as the room teacher. And that meant a lot of extra work because she had to keep that roll call. She had to make out all the report cards of that particular class. So Kitty and I used to sort of do a teamwork because Kitty was very particular about giving her, especially the older ones, a lot of written work because that's the only way they'll get the English into their heads, because the Parsi children were the ones that were so clever, and also some of what they call the Christian ones. But the Hindu and Mohammedans were very weak in the English. So by giving this written work, you see, Kitty thought she'd get the English more. Well, that meant so many more things to correct. So my classes were easier classes and the younger classes. So I used to help Kitty with the correcting, and then she'd do the marking, and then I used to fill out all her report cards, and she'd just put in the remarks and sign them and all. And we did a regular teamwork, and this used to impress Miss Groom very much. Because another thing she said when we came to the school, she said, you know, ever since you two came to the school, the whole atmosphere of the school has changed. And that's why we felt afterwards, is why she wanted us to hold on to us and come back, because she couldn't understand that here are these two women out of the blue coming there to the school, and somehow, subtly, that whole atmosphere of the school was changing. We were not conscious of it, but she could feel the difference from before we were there and from the time we were there. So she used to say, what teamwork Kitty and I used to do. And I said, well, I mean, we've been doing like this for so long. We never talked about Baba at that time or told her anything about Baba because it was a mission school, and she was very sort of, I mean, her life rose and set in Jesus. And so how could we start talking about Baba? We might upset her. So we said nothing. So as I say, when we had that second leave to go, we went up to Mahabaleshwar to be with Baba. And that was at the time when Baba was stepped out of the new life for one day, for 24 hours, and then again back, I mean, into the old life, and then back into the new life. So we were there at that time, and then afterwards, I think there was the Diwali festival and all. So she wrote to Kitty at that time, asking her if I would take on the counterpart of her class. I mean, Kitty had, I think it was 6B or 7B, I forget which. So would I take A? So I said, look, Kitty, if I take on that whole class, I said, my work will be so cut out to look after that besides my own classes, that I won't even be able to help you, and then we'll get ourselves into an awful muddle. I don't want the responsibility of looking after that other class. And it's much better if we carry on the way we're doing now. I can help you with what you're doing. We can get through the work, and at least everything goes smoothly, whereas the other way, we'll get over our heads with work, and it won't work out. So Miss Groom accepted the reason I said that I didn't want the responsibility of doing it, and she gave it to one of the other teachers. So everything went smoothly. I got more and more classes. And I was working, as I say, full-time then. Besides that, I was given the dramatics class. And that I enjoyed immensely because I'd always loved the theater, even before I came to Baba. And we used to do amateur theatricals, and I would always be doing the scenery and all that because I refused to act. And so Kitty and I took this bit from Dickens. And Kitty gave them the script for it, and then I did most of the directing for their acting, so that they, for instance, not to turn your back on the audience and don't mumble when you're talking, and the actions that they should put into it. Oh, they used to have a lovely time. And we had two groups, because we said, supposing one lot of the children get ill at the last minute, how are you going to train at like that? So we made the two groups vie with each other, not telling them which was going to be the one that would be the main one to do the acting, and we would decide at the last minute. And whenever I used to ask them to rehearse after school, never once were there a murmur of dissent. They always came enthusiastically and always put their whole heart into the acting and doing. And they used to love it when I'd get up and start showing them how they should do like this or should do like that. And these children, really, they did a beautiful job. And I found some dresses of mine that would fit in for that period, and a poke bonnet with a bow underneath by just changing the hat and bending it. And then I made them borrow their brother's suits and make four-in-hand ties. And they didn't cost the school a penny. Only to, I think, rent a beaver hat. That was the only thing that they had, the expense they had to go through. And Miss Groom told us afterwards it was the best thing they'd had in the school in a long time. So we felt very happy that, I mean, we'd made a success of that. Then the summer holidays came. So at that time, Baba called us again. But that was all right because it was holiday time. And when I'd get up there like that first time in Mamishwar, Baba said, "You've got to go back." And I said, "Baba, how many times are you going to send us back like this? Why can't we stay with you?" "No," said Baba, "you've got to go back." And I'd cry and cry.
Baba was still in the new life.
This was in the new life. When he said, "No, this is only just for a short period, and for me, you have to go back." And I said, "Oh, Baba, why?" And I cried. Baba said, "No, mustn't cry, you've got to go back." So then I pulled myself together and go. So when this summer, we came again to Mamishwar to be with Baba, and while we were there, Baba one day called us and said, "Now, I'm going to Hyderabad. And are you so immersed in your work and satisfied with your jobs in Bombay that you want to stay there? Or do you want to come with me to Hyderabad and take your chances on getting a job in Hyderabad?" Well, there was no even having to think. I said, "Never mind Bombay. We'll find a job somehow in Hyderabad, of course. If we have the opportunity of coming with you, where else would we want to go? Why would we want to stay in Bombay a minute longer?" And so Baba said, "All right, but you're going to have to get a job in Hyderabad." I said, "Somehow or other, Baba, we'll find a job in Hyderabad." So it happened that Nagesh, Anavaz's sister, was taking care of somebody's child up there in Mahameshwar. And these people had rented the Nizams of Hyderabad's bungalow. And there was some official from the Nizams cabinet that had come there to the bungalow. And how she managed to tell us about it, I forget. But we got permission from Baba to go over there and meet this man on the strength that possibly he might have some entree where we could, you know, get a job there in Hyderabad. So we met him and explained our situation. Because we later asked, when we went back to the school, we'd asked Miss Groom if they had any connection with any school in Hyderabad, and she said no, she had no connection whatsoever. So anyway, we made the contact with this man. He said, I'll do what I can. And I said, after all, we've done our best now. We'll wait till we get to Hyderabad. So Kitty and I started planning out, you know, what routes we'd take and the buses and so on and so forth. But one thing that Kitty said to Baba, that Miss Groom had been so amazing in her acceptance of us and not objecting any time to our going off, that now that we were definitely leaving, we should at least go back and spend 2 months there and give her the opportunity of getting replacements for us and not just leaving her in the lurch by just walking out like that. And Baba agreed, said, yes, but you must be back by a certain date. I think it was the end of July, something like that. That would have given us June and July because the school started in June again. So we went back to the school. Now, that time, Baba said, you're not to stay at Meji's. And Masi and Korshi were not staying at Meji's, so where can you stay? So I said, well, at the school, there's an upstairs where Miss Groom lives, and I said, there are a couple of the other teachers that live there, and I think there's an extra room there. So Baba said, you inquire. So we went there. There was the extra room, a lovely big double room with a veranda. We had all sorts of service, you know, early morning tea, the way that the British have, and delicious meals, and as I say, excellent service. And it was so reasonable, being this mission school. And it was during the monsoon months, so that meant there would be no notebooks and catching of buses and standing in the rain or anything like that. I mean, how Baba just took care of everything every time. So we went and we moved there at the school and stayed there those last 2 months of the school. So when it came to our leaving and the class and the children heard that we were leaving, oh my, there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and oh, I mean, what are we going to do without Miss Davy and what are we going to do without Miss Kaylee? And oh, they were so upset. They wouldn't even come down to morning prayers that morning when my class heard. Then Miss Groom and the other teachers had to go up. The whole class was in hysterics. It's fantastic. And they used to love to tell me what the things Miss Davy had done. He used, do you know what Miss Davy did today, you know? And then they'd tell me about some fantastic thing Kitty had done. You see? And they'd always have a very... And they loved Kitty, our class did. They were really sweet. All of them were really... I got very fond of them. Even though I wouldn't want to spend the rest of my life being a teacher. I mean, I really got into it while I was there. And so when it came to the fact that now we're leaving, I said, look, Kitty, we've got to tell Miss Groom about Baba. Because I said, there's no other way that, I mean, anybody who has done what she has done for us must know why she's done it. And Kitty said, but Miss Groom, I mean, this, you know, mission school and this and that. Somehow, I said, we manage, we have to. I said, up to now, I haven't said anything. I've agreed with you. We mustn't disturb the things and we don't want to... What is the expression, proselytize there, the school or anything? So at least now we'll have to do something. So how it worked out was that Miss Groom's sister was on a visit there. And she was just idle, had nothing much to do. Bemoaned the fact that her sister was still working there. And as a matter of fact, Miss Groom was still there only for the fact that she had not been able to get a replacement from England. She was waiting for somebody to come. And so that's why she was still staying on, otherwise she would have had a replacement. And she would not have been there. So I just felt all the time that Baba just kept her there for us, because who else would have done for us what she did? Without any question whatsoever. Because actually, one time there was going to be some inspector coming about something. And she said, now, Miss Kaylee, don't you be so diffident with him. I said, Miss Groom, I won't be diffident with anybody from outside like that. But I said, with you, I had to lay my cards on the table. Why should I let you engage me under the pretext that I knew this, that, and the other thing when I didn't? If you were willing to take me when you knew the situation, that's another matter. But you needn't fear. I won't be diffident with somebody else outside. So anyway, to go back to the sister, she was rather lonely because Miss Groom was always so busy. So we used to invite her to come in and have tea with us in the evening after school. So little by little, I worked in Baba, showed her Baba books, Baba's photo I had on the dressing table and everything. Told her about how we had this master, and that's why we'd come to Bombay, and he told us the good jobs and so forth. knowing perfectly well that in the evening she'd be going to repeat it all to Miss Groom, which sure enough she did. I mean, Miss Groom, naturally, we used to see her at dinner time. In the evening there would be prayers, and then we'd go to our room, and then we'd be up to 12 o'clock at night correcting notebooks and things. So I knew that the only person that could get near to Miss Groom to tell her about this, that had the time to tell her, would be the sister. So sure enough, the sister, she told Miss Groom all about what she had been hearing from us. So one day I was upstairs in our room. Kitty had gone out. She was, at the time, we were saving all our money to take to Baba, because in the days when we were living with Mirji, all our salary and everything had to go to Homai. We were not allowed to keep a cent. But once we were staying there at the school, the money was all ours, so we could spend as little or as much as we wanted. So naturally, as much as we could, we were saving to give to Baba. So Kitty was also, and I had done, taken some extra tutoring jobs. So that day, particular day, Kitty was out. So the servant comes up and said, Miss Groom wanted to see me. So I went down, realizing immediately what she wanted. So I went down and I said, yes, Miss Groom. And she said, oh, my sister's been telling me such interesting things. And I said, do you mean about Meher Baba? She said, yes. So then I proceeded to tell her that how we had come to know Baba, and that we were following him as our master, and that's why we had come to India to be with him. But now he was on a tour, and he had told us to go to Bombay and take a job. And then she had so graciously offered the job in the school, and that our whole life was devoted to him, and whatever his wishes were, naturally we followed. And that's why I said, when we got those calls to go and leave the school, I said he had sent for us, and then naturally, whatever Baba's wish was, that we would abide by. So when he called us and you gave us the permission to go, then that is why we went and why we had to leave you this number of times. And I said, the best way I can describe Baba to you is by telling you that he has all the Christ qualities. Because I thought if I tell her he's Christ, or even Meher Baba didn't mean anything to her, but the fact that Baba had the Christ qualities practically was implying that Baba, you know, was as Christ is. So that somehow appealed to her, and she could understand. She said, yes, he must be a very wonderful person. And she wanted to hear more about him, and I showed her pictures of Baba, and she was quite interested. But I said, Miss Groom, you're the remarkable person. I said, you took us, we had no reference of any kind. You took us on faith. She said, but I live on faith. And so, I mean, I was so glad, because she really had an understanding of what it meant for us to follow Baba and to do. And yet, somehow or other, she appreciated that we put as much effort as we possibly could in the school, because we used to go and help her there on a Saturday. We'd go and straighten down her cellar with all our cupboards where everything was higgledy-piggledy, and odd things like that we used to try to do for her and help. And she appreciated that, because, I mean, she was all overworked herself. And just after that, then we left.
She seems to be the... just the right person Baba had placed.
She was. She
because
was.
Because you were living right on the edge of the new life with Baba. You almost went, but Baba thought Westerners or whatever reason you weren't, but you were right at the edge of the new life.
All right.
Might have been calling any minute.
Yes.
And she's...
She was at
the fact that she was living by faith. She says, well, I live by faith all the time. Seems just very apt.
And but what is so wonderful is that we heard that shortly after we left there, she got a replacement and she went back to England. That in itself proved to us more than anything that how she was only just there for us at the time, and Baba somehow or other wanted us to be in that school and have that contact with children then. And the night that before we were to leave was just the most perfect ending. She had, I don't know exactly what denomination she belonged to, excepting that they have this spontaneous prayers. And in the evenings, we would sort of kneel by our chairs, you see, and she would have some prayer, and then we would wish each other good night. And as I say, Kitty and I would go off and do our correcting till about 12 o'clock. So the very last night, she started a prayer. And I heard Miss Davy and Miss Gailey. Just as she uttered the names, there is a commuter train, suburban train, that goes back and forth there. And we never noticed the train before. But just as she mentioned our names, the train went by. And as her voice went on, the woo, 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 the wheels went on, we could hear this voice going on and the sound of the wheels going, but we couldn't hear a word of what was being said. And as the very end of the train went by, the end of the prayer came, and we never did find out what Miss Groom had to say about us. And we decided that was Baba's finishing touch, because if we'd heard anything nice, our little egos would have been rearing their heads no end, and we would have been very puffed up, whereas Baba just was having none of that, so we never heard a word of what you're saying. And we know that she was praying to God for us and all our happiness and this, because she became very fond of us. So we know that she must have said a very, very loving prayer about us, and but we didn't have the opportunity of hearing any of it. And I couldn't, I was going to say, Mr. Groom, what did you say? We couldn't hear you because of the train. But anyway, it was a spontaneous thing. So we had a very fond farewell. The children all came the next day. They were allowed to come that Saturday morning and see us off. And we came to the school, and they gave us bouquets of flowers and wept some more, and off we went. It was a really unique experience. And I think, I might say a miracle of Baba's. Because what else could it have been? I mean, on our own, we would have gotten nowhere there in Bombay. And yet, here was this person who just took us in, not knowing a thing about us.
On faith.
On faith, absolutely. We can put it in somewheres afterwards.
Yes, go ahead.
Are you want to go ahead?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, well, when in the ashram days, when I used to talk with Margaret, Margaret used to say, well, because Baba wants me to be here, that's why I'm here. If Baba says 100% I want you here, how can I say to Baba I want to go? But she said, I don't feel Baba, whereas when I'm out in the world, I feel Baba there. I said, well, Margaret, I can't somehow think of being anywheres without Baba. And I just didn't register at all. And then, when we had to go during the new life to Bombay, as I say, it's then that I realized what Margaret meant. Because if I hadn't felt that Baba was with me all the time, I mean, I couldn't have stuck Bombay. I mean, to me, anyway, it was like purgatory. But the very fact that it was a bearable purgatory, because I felt that Baba was with me. And there are a few lines, two or three lines, from a dictation which Baba gave at the beginning of the new life, to which I clung throughout that period in Bombay. And the lines are, treat your conditions like a life buoy and stick to it, and it will not let you sink. So I felt all the time that Baba was my life buoy, and I knew I couldn't sink. And so that is what pulled me through during that whole period where there was the outward separation with Baba. Now to go back to our leaving Bombay for Hyderabad, the date came for us to go, and we joined Baba in Hyderabad. And as I mentioned before, Kitty and I made many plans as to what the bus would be, the timings, what food we would take for our lunch, when we would be getting back in the evening, and so forth. And still we had no idea of what kind of a job we were going to get, and we had not heard at all from this man which we had been introduced to in Mahabaleshwar, who was in Nizam's government. So one day, quite unexpectedly, he appeared at the bungalow where we were living. And he was very contrite and said that it was not possible for him to find us any opening in any of the schools, and that he had done his utmost in that respect. But there was one thing very much that he would like, and that was to have Baba's darshan. At that time, Baba was not in seclusion. It was still the new life period. But I went in and spoke to Baba, and Baba agreed and said that he would come out and see him. So the man had Baba's darshan, Baba smiled, a few words were exchanged, and he left. And after that, there was never any more mention about getting jobs. Baba never brought it up, and as Baba didn't bring it up, of course we didn't bring it up. And I felt somehow that this contact with this man was something that Baba wanted to have take place. And whenever Baba does anything in a natural way like that, it is in the most natural way. He might have wanted that contact, so we were the instruments to meet the man so that he would come to see Baba, and Baba had that contact with him. I don't know, that's only my way of thinking. Because after Baba once had that contact, and it was, Baba could easily have told us, well, now you're on your own, you better get out there to Secunderabad and see the schools and make that contact. But nothing was said whatsoever. The Baba kept us very busy at that time because both Meru and Mani had to be in the hospital. And Gaurav had to look after them. They both had some operations to undergo. So I was given the job of getting up early in the morning and making breakfast and seeing that Baba's hot water was ready. And Kitty was helping Naja in the kitchen and doing odd jobs. So we were kept pretty busy all the time. And I also used to do all the washing of Baba's clothes and all Baba's things, I mean, bed linen and all that, everything, as Meru used to do. And I want to deviate from that to say that throughout our life in the ashram, people used to say, what do you do all day? I mean, what do you do with Baba? And those that would meet us at birthday time, when Baba would be glowing and sitting on the gadi, and everybody would be sitting around gazing at him.